I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's TCS Plus, the business technology show, which is brought to you today by Obsidian Systems. And it's my pleasure now to welcome a familiar face back into the studio. Michi van Staden is MD of Obsidian Systems, and he's joining me today to chat about IT Service Management, or ITSM. Michi, welcome back. It's good to see you. How are you?
Thank you, Duncan. Yeah, great. It's good to be back. Thank you for the invitation.
Oh, pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for your time. So ITSM, I must admit, I have heard of IT service management, but don't know a heck of a lot about it. So let's start with the basics here. What is ITSM and why is it important?
Cool. Yeah, most organizations that are in the IT space have ITSM, so IT service management. So it's where they service IT for either internal users, so Sally has locked herself out of her laptop. They log a ticket with the service desk and they get her onto the laptop again, or they fix a modem or whatever the case may be. That is IT service management, typically into the organization. And then some people do the same, but externally to their customers.
Okay.
So they would have lots of customers out there. My fiber line is down. So typically that will be managed by IT service management, have the ability to take a call, route a call, and hopefully resolve a call.
Okay. So that's what your typical corporate IT department does at the end of the day.
Pretty much.
Okay. Okay. So it's been grouped under this term ITSM, and I'm sure there's a lot of best practice and rules and all sorts of things that that go into that. But maybe a good place to start is maybe a discussion on why it's important and what it can do for you as an organization.
Yes. Like I mentioned, a lot of IT departments use this. A lot of them use ITIL as a base framework to make sure that
ITIL being?
Now you've got me.
IT information libraries, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, yes. You've got me on the
acronym. Don't know where I got that from.
We'll have to check it up. But yeah, so much for an interview. I don't even know the acronym. But yeah, it typically an ITIL framework that deals with incident management, problem management, change management, etc. And there's typical standardized frameworks that naturally companies go and make their own. And something like the Atlassian Jira Service Management, which is one of the tools that we take to market, has all of those frameworks built in. So it typically is quite a governed process within an organization, especially change management within large systems, etc. You can understand that it affects major systems. So in a banking world, as an example, you need to log change management before we go and make changes. But it can be quite loose that, like I mentioned, Sally lost her password. Somebody just helps her get it back again. So it can be as loose as that. But it is important in these large environments that you have the proper processes in place and, more importantly, the proper data. So that when, let's take you as an example, you log a query, we need to know what company assets you have. You are talking to us about your laptop and you say, my Linux is giving me a problem. And we go, but you don't have Linux on your laptop. You're supposed to have Windows on your laptop because that's what the system says, as an example. And that's why it's important that companies have the data. So that helps companies also go and pick up that, but hang on, this ticket is now the fourth one for the same laptop. Maybe it's not the user that's the problem, but it's the laptop. So data is critical to have what is typically referred to as assets within your ITSM framework to make sure that you can help the customers better, whether they're internal customers or external. But what is interesting and starting to happen is a lot of companies are starting to realize that this can be used beyond IT. So people are starting to coin the phrase enterprise service management because we have HR. So HR is a similar thing. You need to find out about what the policy is of something, or I need to have a specific leave thing, or finance. Example, the booking of Forex for anything within the organization. There are many places where one department of an organization is servicing other parts of the organization. So a lot of people are starting to use traditional ITSM tools, but for beyond IT.
Okay.
And that's where it gets really interesting. And that's some of the stuff that we're helping our customers with, is to go and say, how do I have this existing tooling that I have? And just deploy it for other departments and use the assets, like I mentioned, is to go and make sure. I'm talking to Johnny. Immediately the system will tell you, Johnny works in this department, if applicable, salary bracket, leave days, all of these kind of things, so that you can better service whatever that customer needs.
Okay. So it really sounds like a way of avoiding anarchy.
Exactly. It really is.
Stopping the chaos that is so prevalent inside organizations and actually understanding what's going on and ensuring things don't fall through the cracks.
And it's that key thing of who needs to do what by when and why, and for whom are they doing it. And that's why it's so critical to have that data. And I mean, you can go really granular. Examples are customers. I mentioned fiber earlier, is that you can actually go and exactly go. And if your assets are connected correctly, you can understand that user is sitting behind this router that is sitting behind this higher up router. So you can start understanding in the broader spectrum what an outage could affect the number of users based on the assets that you have. So it can actually become very intelligent.
Okay, interesting. You say that, use the word intelligent. I want to ask you a bit about AI later, because I imagine that AI can play a critical role in all of this. But you mentioned Atlassian. They're an international software company. Yes. You represent them in the South African market.
Great.
Are they historically, or do they operate in the sort of open source software space like you guys do?
Not traditionally. So their source code is typically available. Mm-hmm. So they have an open methodology. So as a customer, you can get access to their source code, but it's not developed in a traditional open source fashion. So it's not like a Linux that's developed by multiple people and you bring it in and people collaborate on it. It's not like that. But they are fairly open in other ways that they do. So they're very open in how they price, how they deal with customers, etc., but not open source per se.
So have they also expanded from ITSM into enterprise service management?
Yes. So most people know Atlassian for their product Jira. And it's traditionally for the software development lifecycle guys, so the devs. That's where they started. And only recently did they actually expand from Jira to what they now call Jira Service Management, aimed at the traditional ITSM space. And now they're going and saying, but we can take this wider into the ESM space. Mm-hmm. So all of their platforms, if you connect them together, you have a way that your whole enterprise can go, who needs to do what, by when, and why. Mm-hmm. So they have fantastic, in my view, fantastic things in there like goals. In a large enterprise, it's always tricky that people don't always know, but why am I doing this piece of work? Where does it fit into the company goal? So their platforms allow you to even go that granular, that irrespective of who gets a task within the system, they can figure out, but where does this actually fit into the bigger structure of what the company as an organization is trying to achieve?
Now, imagine having this view of everything in your organization, or your IT assets is important in securing your organization as well from a cybersecurity perspective. Maybe just unpack that a little bit for me.
Yeah, so prime example of how some of our customers use ITSM now, if you have all of the servers as assets in your system, you could, as an example, say, create a ticket for each server and say, please do updates, and you dish that out to a group of technicians. And they each would then have to go and apply their patches and mark the ticket as done. So that is an example of, rather than saying, guys, did we patch everything? And the team says, yes, we did. Now there is a controlled way to go and say, but hang on, this server, and you actually have the name, this one hasn't been marked as done. Mm-hmm. That's a very simple and basic idea of just how it can help manage large environments and dish out tickets en masse and let, and with the great thing with automation and IT, if you use technologies like Red Hat's Ansible, et cetera, you can start integrating this so that you can automate that whole process a lot better.
Okay. How important is automation in ITSM, And to what extent are we going to be able to automate these processes using AI?
Yeah, that's a good one. Automation is I think, key, and it helps humans to do things quicker. I mean, that's the whole point of automation. If something is not necessarily that complex, but it's just really tedious to go and do the same thing 100 times, that's where automation can really help you. And with humans being fairly clever, they can do amazing things with automation. So a lot of our customers automate a lot of things within the ITSM. So an example, and it's a silly example, a customer, I've mentioned Sally with her lost password. Sorry, Sally, I pick on Sally all the time. but if Sally logs in, the system is clever enough to go and say, I've lost my password, and it would then actually give you documents to potentially help you solve it yourself. Because that's just a simple way of something, an automated response to a typical query could alleviate pressure off your service desk team. Because if a customer, whether it's an employee or an external, can self-service, it's so much better for the organization. It's not operational time that's being wasted. So that's one way where that kind of things can
help. Just prompt the end user and say, We've noticed you have this problem. Here's how you can fix it.
And you can also start tracking that Sally tends to have this problem every 3 weeks, and maybe you can help her in a different way. But that's an example. And other automation I mentioned, you know, you can automate. We know we have 1,000 servers, so you could very easily automate 1,000 tickets to, call it 20 engineers, each with 50 tickets, to go and say, please go and patch these systems. So that's another way of automating. What some of our customers do, they use Jira, and they would let their developers know, your application is sitting on top of a piece of operating system. We need to apply patches. It's the constant DevOps problem that a lot of people have. I don't know when the app guys can give me a change window to actually apply the updates. Mm-hmm. So we're helping customers with that automation, that the dev team would get a ticket that says the following patches are available for your underpinning operating system. We have already got all of the code in something like an Ansible. We will apply the following patches. Please tell us when. Mm-hmm. And the systems are clever enough that the dev guys can go and say, great, we are happy, you can do this Saturday morning at 3. That goes back into the system at 3 o'clock on Saturday morning. An Ansible script runs. Nobody there. It's all automated. Mm-hmm. It goes and applies the patches that was presented, approved. It runs it. It reboots the system. It goes back and says everything was applied. Everything came back correctly.
Hopefully.
Or if something goes, hopefully. And if something goes wrong, you have the ability to roll back.
Yeah.
And now, once again, your dev, when they come in Monday morning, they go, the patches that you told us we could do, they have been done. Ops, everything was automated.
Yeah. Or if something broke, it'll automatically phone the IT guy at 4 a.m.
Exactly. It can, actually.
So a lot of organizations are going through this sort of broad term digital transformation. I think a lot of people associate that with moving to the cloud. A lot of organizations have got a mix of on-premises IT, kind of a hybrid sort of environment. Others have gone entirely to the cloud. What sort of role does ITSM play in hybrid and pure cloud environments?
It can play in both. So whether you're servicing a machine in the cloud or a machine on-prem, no difference for ITSM.
Okay.
Where you host that ITSM system, there it can potentially differ. And once again, something like the Jira stack, you can either use their software as a service or you can go and deploy it on-prem. And we have a mix of those customers. But ultimately, they can provide the service. Doesn't really matter where it is in this hybrid IT world.
Okay. And then you mentioned DevOps, the shift to Agile and DevOps integration. Maybe just touch on that for a bit, and where IT service management plays a role there.
Yeah. So once again, this is what makes the Atlassian stack so interesting for me, is that Jira is typically for your software development guys. So that's the guys who are running most of their projects in Agile fashion. And then you have your traditional ITSM guys sitting next to them. So let's take Sally as an example. She once again lost her login. The ITSM guy can go and say, here's a workaround, but maybe they figured out that actually there's a coding problem. Mm-hmm. So what they could then do is their ITSM ticket, they can log to a ticket in the developer project to go and say, we've actually found that there's a back-end problem. They've sorted out Sally for she can get working again, but there's a bigger problem. So what then typically happens, that goes into a backlog. The guys go into an agile fashion. It gets into some or other sprint. They then fix the bug. What would then happen is, because there's a linked ticket, the ITSM guys will be notified to go and say, hey, you made us aware of a back-end bug. It has been fixed. Mm-hmm. So they can perhaps then go back to Sally and say, remember the problem we had 3 weeks ago? We gave you a workaround. We have now fixed it properly. Mm-hmm. So that's how the two work together. And Atlassian can play in both of those worlds, which is more structured, and Agile, which is more sprint, and we go and move across. So, yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about future trends in ITSM. Where is this technology, if I can call it that, going? I imagine more and more AI is going to get infused into this. We're going to head to an environment of hyper automation. Are there risks associated with doing that as well?
I guess there's risk in anything always.
If you're letting AI agents loosen your network, I mean, is there a danger it's going to start doing things you don't want it to do?
It could. And I always, we always chat about this, it's even the same with automation. Automation is great, but it also means you can mess up something at scale. Mm-hmm. If you get the automation wrong, something can go really badly wrong. So like in anything, you should have some check and balances. And I think AI is the same. So Examples, what we're already seeing in the Atlassian world is their products have artificial intelligence built in. They call it Atlassian intelligence. So it's still AI, very clever of them.
Someone else did that. I wonder who.
See a trend here. And it just uses the data available. One of the things that I find interesting about the way that they do it, they don't seem to be building specific models for each customer. Mm. It's basically a fast querying way of looking at the customer's data and presenting that very quickly. So it's not like they are training models. So what some people would traditionally say is AI. Mm. But with their AI, they have the ability to build agents that could service the end customer in a combination of a human and an AI agent. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of the Atlassian customers are already doing, is that the AI agent is becoming a team member. So instead of asking Johnny, what is the IP address of that server, there's no reason why an AI bot cannot give you that same information, and probably faster, more accurate, more reliable. But it has to have access to the correct things, not bad things, incorrect data, etc. So a lot of the guys are starting to do that the AI agent is becoming a team member, and integrating it like that. I don't think that they would give everything over to that, but it's a very knowledgeable and quick team member, and they never sleep, so they never go on leave.
I've actually been using an AI agent in Teams calls now that does my note-taking and transcription, which is
exactly
fantastic.
And maybe just the chat with one of our customers the other day, it's you mentioning an AI bot that's note-taking. For me, it's always a bit silly. You know, we all poppy and GDPR scared. But I sit in a lot of meetings and all of these AI bots popping up, and I sometimes wonder, do we know where that data and information is going?
Yeah.
We're worried about Poppy and somebody's ID number, but you might say it in a meeting. Now some note taker has got that, and where is it sitting?
Stored in a cloud somewhere.
That's something that worries me, and then that we try and handle. And maybe just something else on the Atlassian side with regards to, they have a thing that they call Rovo, and that is basically their top AI. And what it does, you have the ability to take your Atlassian stack, but also connect other tools. So take an example, we're a Google Workspace company. So you could hook Google Workspace into Rovo. So now you have the ability to use AI across your Atlassian stack as well as Google. And it will then query the data across all of those platforms. Mm-hmm. And we've tested this to go and make sure that there's some stuff that not everybody should see. And the thing is clever enough that it'll only return the results on what the user has the rights to see. Mm-hmm. So from that point of view, very, very powerful. And you basically have one AI mechanism that can manage multiple tools. For me, I think for an enterprise, that's a great way, because you can go and say, I want this machine learning algorithm and ability of AI that sits on my data. It doesn't train on anybody else's data. Nobody else trains on my data, but it gives me the ability to very quickly query across multiple of my enterprise tooling. So I think that's a pretty novel way of looking at it.
Just sticking with AI and machine learning for a moment longer, do you think we're going to get to a point where these ITSM platforms are going to be able to predict when a problem occurs? So when Sally, or let's make it Harry to be fair, when Harry has a problem with his computer, or maybe about to have a problem with his computer, the system might know about it. Maybe expand on that and explain how it might work.
I think there are enough use cases in the world where it's been done in other places. Mm-hmm. Many moons ago, when we were still playing with Hadoop and the likes of Cloudera and Hortonworks, it was one of the standard use cases for maintenance. Mm-hmm. So there were many cases where I know Caterpillar, the guys who do the big earth-moving machines, it was one of the use cases that we were taught back then, is that they used machine learning and predictive analytics to go and say that you need to go and change that part before it breaks. So if we take that same analogy, I cannot see why we cannot do that with smaller machines, laptops, etc. I know,
because there's a lot of information that these machines give out, like a temperature of the processor and all sorts of things. And if something spikes, it's unusual.
Exactly.
Because that's just maybe call the user and say, is there a problem?
Yeah. And with enough analytics and data, you can go and say, the last 10 processors that we had that broke, just before then, the heat was up to this level.
Yeah.
Okay, so we just see that there. Maybe you need to warn that user that they're going to have it. That's the principle behind predictive analytics. So I cannot see why not. It's just, do we have the data?
Mm-hmm.
And then we can get the machines to analyze that and start predicting based on the data how it is. So I can maybe use another example. We're a partner of Stratus. I don't know if you know them, but they build fault-tolerant hardware and specifically stuff that they refer to as continuous available. And they're older generation technology, they promised customers 5 nines of availability, so 3.16 minutes of downtime a year, which is pretty amazing in itself. And they've been doing this for about 35, 40 years. And they took all of that data, plugged some machine learning into it, and their new generation, they actually guarantee 7 nines of availability.
Wow.
So that's 3.16 seconds of unplanned downtime a year. And it's because they applied predictive analytics to go and say, we can now better predict when something is about to fail so we can replace it before it does. And because of that, they went from 5 nines to 7 nines of availability that they guarantee. Yeah. So I, back to your original question, I don't see why we cannot in the future get to the same we can do from an ITSM point of view, whether it's your fiber modem at home. And once again, if a sensor is allowed to get that data and compare it with previous data, predictive analytics will solve a lot of these problems.
Mm-hmm. I imagine it would have a big advantages as well large organizations that have IT and all over the country in remote places, et cetera, that aren't always being looked at by someone at the head office.
Yes, no, absolutely. And think about it. If we take retail as an example, most retailers, they watch their fridges.
Yes.
Meticulously, there's sensors in there because if that thing goes above a little bit now, we have to throw away chicken and bologna and who knows what else.
Mm.
So the same thing is to start using that data. So absolutely, the more, and that's what people don't understand is I don't think the concept of predictive analytics and AI is necessarily new.
Mm.
It's stuff that people have been thinking about for decades.
Mm.
The only difference now is we have enough data and enough compute power to actually go through that data at speed that you can get realistic information out of it and start predicting on it. It's not a novel thing. It's just we now have enough compute power.
Yeah, yeah. So, Bachi, I imagine that this could also help organizations, IT departments, with their governance and compliance as well. Is that true? Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, let's take the example of PCI compliance, which is an important thing for a lot of people. So once again, if we can get something that can query those systems for PCI compliant data, are you compliant? Yes, no. And pull that into your ITSM systems. Once you can do that, you can flag the system is no longer compliant, log a ticket. Can you please go and fix that? So, and it's a way that you can then very quickly respond to when things are out of compliance. So we have a few tools that does continuous compliance checking. I always joke with customers because most of them worry about compliance once a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the compliance audit comes and then everybody runs around and patches stuff. And then they pass the audit and then they forget about it until next year. We're big fans of continuous compliance.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a couple of tooling in our stable that effectively would go every 15 minutes and check those systems for whatever compliance you want, whether it's just a check for CVEs, check for PCI compliance, CICS, whatever framework you want to use for your compliance, you can check it. And once again, if we can check it, it typically means we can alert on it and report on it. And if you can go and say something is no longer in the state that we want it to be, ITSMs, Sally lost a password, it's the state that she doesn't want to be, machine is out of compliance, log a ticket. And if we have the data in something like assets, it's very easy to go and pull trends, build reports, show we've patched all of our systems, no CVEs, no compliance issues, etc. So yes, governance is a key thing for ITSM.
Just remind me what Obsidian's website is again for anyone who wants to go and learn more about ITSM.
It's as easy as obsidian.co.za.
Obsidian.co.za. Full company name, Obsidian Systems. I'm sure if you Google that, the first link will be to your website as well. Hope so. Yes, I'm sure it is. And Mahi van Staden is MD of Obsidian Systems. Thanks for your time and thanks for sharing your insights on this topic. I've learned a lot today. Thank you.
Thank you once again for the opportunity.